Hi, everyone. Welcome back to 9 to 5 Mom with a Pod. I am your host, Francesca. And if you've ever really said to yourself, you know what, next year I'm going to start my business, this episode is definitely for you. We're diving into what the real fears that come up when you say yes to something new. We're talking about what success actually means after you've been through something that really changes your perspective. And of course, most importantly, we're going to explore how to give yourself permission to start even when you're scared, even when you're tired, even when you're not sure you have the right idea. So today I'm talking with Lisa Corwood. She is someone who's lived through the scariest moments, a cancer diagnosis, rebuilding her entire life in a new country, raising kids while also running a business. And we're going to talk about how you can start your 2026 from a place of self-respect and not desperation. Let's get into it. Lisa, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, I would love for you, I'm fascinated by this because I'd love for you to tell our listeners a bit about who you are, but specifically what shaped how you think about life and work right now. Like, what made you the person you are today?
Gosh, that is like a big opener.
It's a loaded question.
So thinking about work as a young girl, it was like you grow up, you get a job, you stick in that job, and you do it, and then that's it. You know, you have a family, and that's the way it is. And it wasn't until I was 26, 27 when I started to think, is this really for me? Like this corporate 9 to 5 thing. And I remember being pregnant with my daughter at the time and thinking, I absolutely do not want to go back to work. So how do I make this work so that I can work for myself? And it all started spiraling out of control from there, really, because it was like, well, what do we do? How can I make this work? And then I started to think about things just a little bit differently. Thankfully, my husband, who had been married for 15 years nearly, wow. He was working for himself at the time, and he had said, just do it, just take the jump. And I was like, we can't both be self-employed and we can't both have our own businesses. Like, you know, what if anything goes wrong? And I think it was at that point, being heavily pregnant, thinking, I am not going back to work for somebody else, where I was like, right, we've got to do something. And that was the starting blocks to what is now today.
Wow. It's crazy because, I mean, now that I really think about it, there's always a point in our lives where, for example, I'm a millennial, right? And a lot of the women that I talk to, also millennial moms, it's the same thing. Yeah. You know, we grew up with parents who were like, hey, staying safe, going to school, getting a 9 to 5, climb that corporate ladder, and then just retire. And I think social media had a big impact of this, because we were able to see the lives that other people had and what could be possible. But moving back to you, you moved to Mallorca, right? Am I saying that right?
Some people in the UK say Majorca, depends on how it's written, because you can write it with a J or a double L.
Got it. Got it. So you moved there, you built your business there, and you also worked with brands. But before that, in 2019, something really happened that changed everything.
It was really unusual. I mean, I think now, I'm sure you'll be aware and your audience will be aware of the HPV screening that every woman goes through when they go for their sort of regular checkups. So back being younger, obviously you're aware, you go for these checkups, and in the UK it's every 3 years. Oh, okay. And when you come over and you have like a private medical, you actually have it every 12 months over here. I'm not sure about the States. So before we moved out here in 2019, I went for my checkups in the UK to make sure everything was fine, as a tick box before moving, get all of your life admin in order, go and see the dentist, go and do this, because we don't know how it's going to work. And we moved here, and it was literally 2.5 weeks after we'd arrived. All of our furniture was delayed in in France coming over the border. And I got the phone call from my GP, and the GP said to me, we've had the results back from your screening and they are abnormal. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean? Oof. And he was like, well, it could mean that it's cancer. And I was like, okay, but we need you to come back in. So at the point, I obviously explained, well, I'm not living there anymore. So I started the process here. Fortunately, we had medical assistance over here in Mallorca, and I started the whole process again. So I went for the cervical screening, which they found that there was carcinoma in situ. They then did the, they found that I was HPV positive. They then did the colposcopy, where they take sort of like a, it's like a cone shape into the cervix. They checked the skin and they said, yeah, unfortunately, it's carcinoma in situ. So what we need to do, because it's a localized cancer, we need to remove it, and then we need to do some preventative measures, which would be one, to get the HPV vaccine, which thankfully all girls now past 13 have that done. And two would be to have a hysterectomy just to remove the possibility of it coming back. Yeah, it was challenging. I think the HPV and that sort of localized cancer was so new at that time. There wasn't a lot of hype about it. There wasn't a lot of talk about it or media coverage. So it was very much, right, well, where does that leave me? What would happen? What is the worst case? How do we get through this? What does that look like? And especially when you're 2,000 miles away from home, it's like, okay, well, do you know what? We're going to get through this because there is no other option. We have to get through it.
Was that when you realized that, okay, you know what? I'm just going to start something at that moment? Or was that after that moment, after you went through the whole process?
So before we left the UK, I'd actually sold my first business. And I was having some time to, you know, get the children used to a new country, us acclimatizing. And it was like, okay. And then you sort of go, maybe I do need something to focus on, because you live in from week to week with appointments. And the only thing that you can think about is, I've just got to get through this next appointment, because if I get through this next one, then we'll know a little bit closer to where we are. So then we'll just get through that. Mm-hmm. And actually at that time, what I started to do, because my husband had a car dealership in the UK, I started to edit some of the videos that they were creating for the dealership. So it allowed me to really focus on that. And that, little did we know, would sort of have something to do with what we now do today. So it was one of those bittersweet moments, I suppose.
Is that where ignited your that passion to, because Field Agency started a little bit later, right?
Yeah, so Field started a little bit later, because what we were doing with the dealership, we came over to Mallorca in 2019, and then we did, I think it was around about 11, 12 months here, and the business was still in the UK at the time. So my husband was traveling, I was here with two young children, and everybody felt a bit disjointed. So we were like, maybe we've jumped the gun and we've come too quick. So we decided we'd move back, spend some time there, and then, you know what, maybe it will happen again, which fortunately it did. We've been back here now for three and a bit years now. Mm-hmm. So when we moved back, I went fully on board inside of the dealership. I was focused on looking at marketing angles. How can we do this? How can we do that? And that was really, I suppose, the foundation of building Fueled, was focusing on organic content. And instead of trying to go, here's another car that's just come in, would you be interested in, here's another car that's just come in, which at the time on Facebook, it was huge. We started to shift a little bit more into something that was a little bit more engaging and fun. And that was what really paved the way. We started to see virality with videos on TikTok. We started to see that our audience was interested in what we were doing in the community. And then we went, you know what? We've been doing this for ourselves. Let's start helping other people do this and build something around it.
Got it. No, that's really good, because, you know, I feel that getting started on something new or wanting to to take a leap on something that you've never really done before usually comes by accident. All of these ideas get developed by accident, something that you came across with, something that you were probably working on that you realized, you know what, there might be something here, there might be a market here. Whenever anybody asks about me about anything, about business or any interviews that I've ever had, guests that I've ever had, it's always the same. Like, oh, how did you get this started? It was just something that you sort of like stumbled upon and it just became a business idea. I feel the real cost really for most women, especially in this particular era, is the cost of waiting. I feel like the cost of waiting is where I'm going to wait another year because I have, you know, the kids, the ages, maybe not, I don't have the right job. It's not the right time or not enough savings. So from where you sit today, having rebuilt your life, having faced the things that made you really clear about what really matters, what do you wish you would have known about waiting? Did you ever come across that? Did you ever say, you know what, I'm going to wait until the right time, or did you just take the leap?
I think this is something that I come across all the time. And normally, for me, is with fitness. Oh, I'll start on Monday. start a new week. Yeah?
Yep.
So I think there is never a good time. I mean, I think as a woman, like, when's the best time to get pregnant? When is the best time to actually, you know, organize this, and when is the best time to have the second, and then when is the best time to go back to work? There's never a best time. I remember being sat in my job after my eldest daughter, who's now 14, she was tiny, and I went back to work, and I remember my mom sending me a picture of a little milk dud that was coming through at the bottom row of her teeth, and I remember sitting there and I wanted to cry because I missed that moment of her getting that little tooth. I'm going to miss it and I'm not going to be there. And I think as a mom, that's all we ever think about. Well, what if I miss that moment with that child? Or what if... And do you know what? There are so many moments. We've actually just got back from an awesome trip over to the States, and we were fortunate enough to take the kids with us. And I look back at that and I think, do you know what? Those are the memories that we'll all remember and we'll look back on. And if we had have waited and we hadn't have done what we did, we wouldn't have that. So there's always going to be a pro and a con to doing it and not doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's ever a good time. No. I really don't.
I think it's because there's such an emotional core to that. It's the FOMO, the fear of missing out, but the fear of missing out for family, the fear of missing out of life, the fear of missing out for pretty much everything. I was reading this book. It's part of my book club, Atomic Habits, where it talks about, we'll start Monday. That's what it talks about. And it's always like, well, why do we get to that level? It's because, and if we ever get to that level and we don't change, because I'm the same way, especially with diets. Oh my God, not diet. I literally tell myself every week, I'm going to start Monday. I'm going to clean out my fridge and everything's going to be nice and clean. And then I'm just going to start all over again. And I'm not going to have this Starbucks coffee today. You know, don't drink your calories, says my nutritionist. And I'm like, hey, it's okay. It's just one day. But one day turns to two turns to three. And then it just never stops. But honestly, self-reflecting here, and using myself as an example, it's because I haven't changed my identity of how I see things. This is part of the Atomic Habits book. I have it somewhere here. And it talks about, what are the fundamentals of changing your habits? Is one of the fundamentals is identity. I talked about this in one of my prior episodes, where you can't, if you don't change the way you think about things, you always will revert back to your old habits. And that's my problem.
And it is, I just started a YouTube channel.
Oh.
And great. I was like, when would be a good time to start that? Well, if you were to sit down and you were to look at timing and everything else, the wrong time to start that would be as you were preparing for a 15, 16 day trip around the States with two children, a pack full of visas and documents and where you stay in. But I decided, no, I'm going to start it then, because if I start it then, I've got a free mind. I've only got to worry about traveling. I haven't got to worry about laundry and food and cooking and shopping and everything else. So it's balancing up and having something. We sit there and you go, when's my mind going to be at its freest to do this? And am I going to feel like if I do it at that time, I've got a kickstart? Like starting with the gym makes sense to start on a Saturday. It's a free day for us.
That's true.
So start on Saturday.
Right. There is a concept. There has to be a psychological aspect to Monday, like starting on Monday. I don't know what it is. Who came up with that idea first? I would love to know who was the first person that said, hey, guys, you know, we can always start Monday. Yeah. But I also think to your point about starting a YouTube channel, I think there's a fear of choosing wrong, like putting all of your energy into an idea and then realizing 6 months later it was just not actually what you wanted. So I feel like that's also part of it because it's emotional. And I've also seen, because I've done it myself, my sister-in-law have this conversation all the time where we announce it to everyone what we're going to do. Hey, everybody, we're starting a diet on Monday. Or hey, everybody, we're starting a business in January. And I feel that puts a lot of pressure on us instead of just working on it ourselves, working on the identity, on shifting that mindset. So I feel like that there's an emotional core in that, that, you know, you just feel like, what if I fail?
I saw a creator had posted something and he was saying that basically when you come to do something new, focus on documenting the journey, but don't focus on sharing that until you're ready. And then that way you can go, well, this is what I did and this is how I did it. And it was a success. Well, do you know what? It was an absolute flat out and out failure, but I documented it and this is what I learned along the way. And I think with social media, we do have a tendency to go, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do. And then afterwards you go, I didn't do that. And now I feel a little bit silly.
Yes.
But we've all done it.
I feel like people are more reluctant to post those type of things on social media or also be vulnerable on social media. And I understand the reason why you don't want to be vulnerable on social media, because we are in an age of like trolls where anybody, it doesn't matter what you say. You could say the most beautiful thing in the world, someone's going to troll you and be like, that is the most ridiculous thing you've ever said. And then it starts a whole riot of conversations with other people. Well, no, you're silly. Well, no, you're silly. Well, no, you're silly. So now there's this fear, and I get this a lot from women in content creation. The reason their number one fear of starting is their perception of what the public is going to think of them. That's the number one thing that they're like, oh, you know, if I say something ridiculous or stupid, I'm just going to go viral and then people are just going to be mean to me.
I was always scared. And this is one of the things that I talk about as I created my YouTube, like a day in a life. This is literally just me as me trying to connect with people like me who want to talk about things that I want to talk about.
Right.
So living in Mallorca, being a mom, being a business owner. And to begin with, I was like, what do I look like? I'm walking around with my camera. Like, what are people thinking as I'm walking down the street? And the fact is, no one actually cares. If you're walking down the street with a camera, on the phone, on a WhatsApp video, sending a voice note or video yourself, they might look out of curiosity, but they don't care.
Right.
And then you put it online and you have to go, do you know what? There are how many people in this world? Some people are not going to like what I put out, and some people are going to disagree with me. There are some people out there who are probably feeling the exact same way as me, who are looking to find a community and they're looking to connect with similar people. Forget about them and let's focus on them. And you're always going to get haters. Haters gotta hate. That's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I always take it as I feel sorry for them because they've got nothing else to do but to write these nasty comments. And that's sad for them, because if you feel so strong about writing something so mean and nasty, well, you must have a really sad life. If I went viral, well, if I had a load of men, single men, watching A Day in a Life with Lisa walking around Mallorca, I'd be like, well, they're not going to get anything out of my content. I'm going to make no impact with them. Right. I want to connect with my audience, with my people who we've got a connection and we can talk and, you know, we can talk about things. And that's the whole point.
Right. One last point here to that. I was part of this Yahoo article a long time ago. It was earlier this year. And it was me and a bunch of other women. And then one of the women, Rachel, she came on the show to talk about this with me. The article was about how do we feel at 36, I think it was. It was how do we feel about 36? Nothing really to it. It was just, hey, how do you feel? And then we all just talked about, because that was the topic of the article. The article was about, you know, the journalist said to us the instructions, hey, this is what the topic is and just give me everything related to this topic. Okay, cool. So everybody gave their different perspectives. When we saw the reviews, girl, all negative reviews, all of them. What? And the shocker, like 95% of it was males.
The one thing that I find, especially over here in Mallorca, the amount of help in these Facebook groups of people asking genuine questions in relation to being an expat living in a location, people actually respond with really helpful information, really kind, really want to share, really want to help. But then you always have one person. There's always that one person. And it doesn't matter. You could have like a video or a piece of content that goes out to like 25,000 people.
Right.
But you'll always remember that one negative. Always.
It's the weirdest thing. Shouldn't. But anyway, sorry. We went sidetracked. We talked about social media. But the whole point of this whole episode was to get you to 2026 with ideas. I am curious because 2026 is right there. We're 2 weeks away. If you had to give any woman advice of what she can do, it doesn't matter what it is that her goal is at this moment, but what can she do, that person, that hypothetical woman, do this week? Not a business task, but more like an internal shift that would move that thought of thinking about it to actually believing that they could do something next year. Like, what would you tell that woman? Like, hey, this is what you should do in 2026.
I think one, absolutely go and find communities. Like, where are your people hanging out? Go and speak to them. Go and look at what people are doing. And don't, it's so easy for people to go on Instagram and scroll and go, oh, well, they've got a nice life. They sell courses for like $27 and you just sign up and you go. Don't get lost in the illusion of they are leading this ultra amazing lifestyle because they're doing that. Because I think there are so many opportunities out there, and going and finding your people and where your people are and ask genuine questions. I mean, this is one thing that we're doing as we move into 2026 is we're opening up like a creator club for people who are just like me when, you know, 14 years ago, pregnant, going, I'm not going back to work. What am I going to do? Looking at getting their business to the next level or looking at just trying to market a new business. So I'll give you all the details for that if people want to go and register and find out more. Go and find people who are vlogging, who are talking about their daily life and what they do. Find the inspiration and then, you know, sit there and think, what do I want my day to look like? What do I want my week to look like? Where do I want to be going? Do I want to be going on holiday? Do I want to be doing this? And you might sit there and think, do you know what? I do want my 2 week summer vacation sat on a beach with a margarita with my do not disturb on. And you might think, do you know what? My job isn't that bad. Or you might be sat there thinking, I don't care if I've got to work a few hours on a morning, I can have the afternoons off. Then maybe look at starting something or getting involved with something. But I think don't discount it unless you've done the research. Go and find your people and ask questions. Go to YouTube, go to LinkedIn, go to Instagram and just have a good look and find people out there because they are there and they will talk as well and they will share what they did and how they started out.
And that's a great point. And to circle back to what you said about asking questions and that's incredibly important. There's a celebrity, Kevin Hart. He's an actor.
I love him.
He literally went on this podcast the other day, The Diary of the CEO, I think it was. And they asked him like, oh, how did you get so successful? Like, you know, where you went from point A to point B, and he would show it to you in a chart. So it was like this digital chart, and he goes, oh, it was never like a linear, like up. It was just like, oh, struggle, you know, a lot of waiting, and then you go a little bit up, and then it's a little bit of struggle, and then you wait, and then you go up. But the main topic of that episode was like, oh, like, how did you get from point A to point B? And he said, I'm not afraid to ask questions. I don't want to be that person in the back of the room taking notes and never ask the right question. He said, I'm okay with looking ridiculous and being like, I don't know what SP 500 investment is. I don't know that. Explain that to me. And I think the perception of that we're like, oh, I'm too scared to ask a question because maybe it might sound stupid. This goes back to the communities. Like if you are in a community right now, if you're a woman and you're in a Facebook community or any type of community, or maybe Lisa's community, don't be afraid to ask the question that you want to ask, because I feel like that's really what's going to drive you forward.
And this is the thing, I think, I know Grace Andrews, who actually used to work on Stephen Bartlett, Diary of a CEO.
Oh, okay.
She recently set up her own YouTube, and she's moved away from the Diary of a CEO.
Oh.
And she actually spoke quite honestly on her YouTube about how we have sort of glamorized these overnight success stories.
Yes.
And how we go from like zero all the way up this chart. And, you know, it isn't true.
Right.
Everything, when people appear overnight, if you scroll all the way back, you'll see all videos that they did, all content they created. They did have a life in between that. It's just that we didn't see it.
Yeah.
So there's no harm in, that's one of the things I'd love to do, is go and scroll right back to the beginning where that person started and see, actually, I feel like an idiot filming myself. Well, they kind of did too, so that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah. Nobody's going to remember episode one, but, you know, episode 3000, hey, I got here somehow.
Yeah.
I didn't just pop out of nowhere. I got here. But yes, you're absolutely right. Honestly, where can people, I know that we're going to wrap up right now, but I really want to know, I know people are going to want to connect with you. I mean, can you tell them where the best way to find you is?
Yep. So you can find me on Instagram, just Lisa Corwood at Instagram, and probably on YouTube will probably be the best place as well. If you want a bit of insight into life in Mallorca and running a business and just generally being me, which can be have its ups and downs, then head on over there. And you know what, if you've got any questions, ask away.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure to have you. I can't wait to have you again. And again, everybody, her info is in the show notes. Go follow her.